This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Last week, Apple rolled out a new line of iPhones, a new iPad mini, and a new smartwatch. It's also been in the news recently over a planned software update that was meant to fight child pornography but managed to stoke privacy concerns. So we wanted to know what questions you had about Apple. On today's show, we're going to answer them with our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that Activision Blizzard, the publisher of games including Candy Crush and World of Warcraft, is facing a wide-ranging investigation by federal regulators. According to people familiar with the matter and documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking into how the company handled allegations of sexual misconduct and workplace discrimination. Regulators have subpoenaed the company and several senior executives, including CEO Bobby Kotick. Activision is already facing lawsuits from California regulators and the National Labor Relations Board over its treatment of workers. But our reporter Kirsten Grind says this investigation is different.
These other agencies are kind of looking at the individual complaints to sort of look at the culture of Activision as a company. What the SEC is focused on is what Activision executives knew and when, because that's important in terms of their own disclosure, right? I mean, if they knew about some of these allegations, for example, should they have disclosed it sooner? Should investors have been told about this? Activision is obviously a very big publicly traded company, so it needs to be reporting on these things.
A spokeswoman for Activision said the company is cooperating with the SEC. Twitter agreed to pay more than $809 million to settle a class action securities lawsuit. The 2015 suit alleged the social media company deliberately misled investors about how many monthly active users it had and how frequently users interacted with its platform. Under the terms of the settlement, Twitter denied any wrongdoing. And the latest version of Apple's iPhone operating system was released on Monday. Among the changes, iOS 15 updates some security and privacy features. FaceTime will now be able to call Windows and Android systems, and there are some new tools, including one called Focus that'll let users set times of day when only notifications from certain apps and contacts will come through. You know, so that call from your boss doesn't interrupt family dinner. Speaking of Apple, wondering why all your Apple devices don't have the same plug? Or what the company's software updates mean for your privacy? We've got answers to your Apple questions. Coming up after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Apple is a multi-trillion dollar company, and its influence on the tech world and even our culture is pretty significant. And that can lead to a lot of questions about Apple products, its software plans, and its business model. Luckily, The Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, is here to answer some of your questions. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, Zoe.
So let's start off with some questions about Apple's launch event last week. Here's the first.
Hi, my name is Damon Didier, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. My question is about the best time to upgrade. I have an iPhone X that's in perfect condition. Its camera and its storage more than meet my needs. However, the battery only charges to 80%, so I don't get a full day charge out of it. On top of that, every time I upgrade to the latest iOS, the phone gets slower and slower. So, should I buy an iPhone 13 now? Should I wait until the holidays? Or is there a perfect time for me to go ahead and buy a phone? Or should I just look instead at buying an iPhone 12 and saving a few bucks?
All right, Nicole, what do you think? When's the best time to upgrade?
For this listener in particular, now would not be the best time to upgrade because that phone really just needs a battery replacement. Lithium-ion batteries degrade over time, and when they age, they can struggle with power demands. So Apple intentionally slows down the performance as your battery gets older to prevent your phone from unexpectedly shutting off. So instead of spending the $800 or $900 on a new phone, just pay, you know, the $69 it costs to replace the battery and it'll work like new.
Nicole, that does seem like a good piece of advice if your battery is slowing down and a good way to save money, but what do you suggest is the best time to upgrade to a new phone?
After the new models are announced is a great time to get a new phone, and the reason is because the phones of the previous year are usually discounted pretty heavily once the new models shipped. If you don't mind having an older model and the updates are pretty iterative in the new phone, then definitely get the last year's phone at a discount. The worst time to upgrade to a new phone is in the summer before the new models are announced. So if you are looking to buy an iPhone in June, July, August, or early September, hold off.
Okay, let's go to another question about Apple devices.
Hi, this is Alan Boyce from Urbana, Maryland, and I was wondering why Apple does not push the USB-C in the iPhone Pro models. For example, my MacBook Pro laptop is USB-C, my iPad Pro laptop is USB-C, the iPhone Pro phone should be USB-C as well, one cable for everything.
All right, why doesn't Apple have one cable for everything?
This is a really good question, and it would be a lot more convenient if Apple did make everything USB-C. As he noted, most iPads and MacBooks now have USB-C for both charging and fast data transfer, and most Android smartphones have USB-C ports too. There are a few hypotheses as to why Apple is sticking with Lightning. There's a class of products, accessories, labeled made for iPhone, which are accessories that meet certain performance standards that Apple sets. And these made for iPhone products, which include Lightning cables, are proprietary, and third parties have to pay Apple to have the certification. So on the one hand, made for iPhone and the Lightning port means that Apple can tightly regulate the kinds of third-party accessories used with its phones. And Apple also benefits financially from this market.
Okay, so we have one more question about what to do with Apple devices.
Hello, my name is Soren Richenberg. I live in San Luis Obispo, California. I have concerns about what to do with my old devices made by Apple. Suppose I buy a new iPhone this year, a new MacBook Air, a new Apple Watch, and a new set of AirPods. Over the next couple years, I anticipate having problems with those devices. Maybe the batteries wear out. Maybe I spill a cup of coffee on the laptop. If these devices can't be repaired, then do they not just become trash? How can I feel confident purchasing Apple's products when I feel as if they don't respect my planet or my pocketbook?
Nicole, I think we've all been there at one point or another. You've got a device that's just beyond repair. What are your options? Do you just have to throw it out?
Apple does accept old devices for recycling, and it has this special disassembly robot designed to recover some materials in the phone. But there's a lot of complexity to breaking apart iPhones, iPads, and MacBooks, and AirPods are not really repairable at all. So if you run out of battery on your AirPods, you basically have to get new ones. And there's lots of glue and tiny proprietary screws. And I'm not sure that you can trust that every component can be recycled or repurposed. So the best thing to do is make sure you're preventing e-waste in the first place. One adage that I really love is a quote by Vivian Westwood, and it's buy less, choose well, and make it last.
All right, I want to move on to a question about privacy. There have been a lot of concerns about a new software Apple is working on and whether it will invade users' privacy. There have even been some protests outside Apple stores in the last week. Here's one person at a protest in New York organized by the group Fight for the Future.
My name is Nina. I'm here in front of the downtown Brooklyn Apple store, and we're here urging Apple to abandon its proposed child protection update to iOS 15 immediately and recommit to providing secure communications with end-to-end encryption and no backdoors for all of its devices.
And we got a listener question on this as well.
Hi, my name is Garrett Dias. I live in Hoboken, New Jersey. I have questions about the on-device scanning that Apple announced about a month ago. I've heard that the rollout has been delayed but not totally scrapped. Are there any better or more private alternatives for iCloud photo backups? Would they recommend any messaging apps that don't scan incoming and outgoing messages on the device?
So, Nicole, maybe we can break that into two parts. First, can you tell us what Garrett and this protester are talking about?
Sure. Apple planned to roll out an update with its next software release that uses a complex hash system to identify images that are a part of a database of known child pornography images, and that's for users who use iCloud to back up photos. It would then alert Apple if a certain number of those images were detected.
Are there better or more private alternatives to iCloud photo backups or more private messaging services?
The truth is that most cloud services, including Dropbox, Facebook, Google, and others, also scan users' content for this kind of child sexual abuse material, but in the cloud, and Apple didn't want to do that so that its users' content could stay encrypted, so they did it on your phone. I will say that the most private way to back up photos is to use a hard drive. And there are ones that make it easy to do so from your phone, ones with a lightning connector. And for messaging, Signal is an app that offers end-to-end encryption, and it's developed by a nonprofit solely focused on maintaining privacy and independence.
So a couple of non-Apple options if he's looking for more private ways to communicate. Our last question is a little more focused on the forward-looking outlook of Apple. We got a question about augmented and virtual reality.
Hi there. My name is Juan Diego, and I'm a grad student at OSU studying AR and VR for my thesis. As more companies move to create products for AR like Microsoft's HoloLens or the defunct Google Glass, what's Apple's next move going to be in terms of creating AR experiences for users?
So, Nicole, do we know what Tim Cook and Apple's plans are for augmented reality?
So I'll start by saying AR is where digital creations are transposed onto the surrounding environment rather than a virtual one, which is virtual reality. And Apple has apparently been developing some kind of mixed reality hardware for years, which combines both kinds of experiences, AR and VR. Analysts I've spoken to have said that they expect some kind of product within the next few years. But AR exists already on the iPhone. Pokemon Go is the hugely successful AR app that already exists. So it's not clear if this new product will be a headset that relies on the phone or have its own display like Facebook's Oculus. Or maybe it'll be smart glasses with a clear lens like Google Glass, or maybe it's both.
Great. So it sounds like Apple has maybe still a few tricks up its sleeve to impress users, even if its new line of products isn't the most exciting.
Yes, we shall see.
All right. That was our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Thanks so much for answering these questions for us, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.